I want to talk this morning about dignity and worth, a revolution of humanity. We are going to talk and think about where we get our significance and how we can feel good about ourselves, where our worth comes from. I was thinking as I was reading this chapter in John Ortberg's book, Who Is This Man?, about those who have claimed to be great in this world. Do you remember those who claimed the moniker of greatness? I am the greatest. Who said that? Anybody remember? Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, right? I think he's the voice behind the commercial that I see two or three times every night with the Olympics that's on, right? Is that him? I thought so. Anybody else? The Great? Alexander the Great? Billy the Kid? Okay. Billy the Great Kid. Okay. Anybody else?
Billy Graham
was a great preacher. Okay. He never claimed to be great himself, but a lot of people recognize him as being a tremendous preacher and evangelist. Yes. Okay. Herod the Great, right? He loved his status of greatness as the king of the Jews. Peter the Great was one of the great czars of Russia that accepted that title for greatness. And the Great One, anybody know who that was in hockey? Wayne Gretzky, right? Okay. I think... Catherine the Great. A woman. There you go. I like it. Okay. Fantastic. Well, the question that comes down to us is how can we be great? How can we claim to be great? For Jesus said, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you need to be the servant of all. In this world, people aspire to greatness. It's not uncommon for people to be aspiring to be known and well known. And what would you say is the measure of worth and greatness even in our culture today? Money. If you have lots of it, that's right, then you're considered to be worth a lot, right? What else? Power, fame, prestige. Anything else? Property. Yeah, look at my big house. Impressive, huh? That's the way Herod was in Jesus' time. He had palaces all over the place. In fact, built Masada as a fortress off-site and so forth. But Jesus wanted to change all that. He said, your greatness, as his disciples were hoping that he might say, you're the greatest, or you're the greatest, you sit at my right hand. Jesus said, no, no. If you want to be great in my kingdom, you need to be a servant of all. Well, how do we fit into Jesus' revolution of thinking as things kind of got turned upside down? How is it that we can measure our value and our worth, even today? Well, let's think about that for a minute. In Jesus' day, the ancients didn't consider children, women, peasants to be worth much at all. There was a dignity gap. That's actually in your notes. So we will touch on that. There was a dignity gap in Greek and Roman theology, where they thought that the kings and princes, nobility, were created in the image of the gods by the greater gods, and the peasants and all those lower class were subservants. They were subclass. They were created by the lesser gods. So there was this natural according to them, created order in their social strata. And that showed itself in so many ways in their culture back then. But it comes down to us today. Sometimes in our society, right, children, hasn't been too many generations where they thought children should be seen and not heard. Okay? So it was with women of other generations. What is it that makes us know that we are precious, that we are valued by God? When we think about significance and worth, Jesus taught the truths that came out of the Old Testament from the Jewish heritage, actually from himself, when you think about it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the creation order, God created man, men and women, in his own image. We are all created. In fact, our Declaration of Independence says all men are created equal. We take these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal and endowed with certain inalienable rights. Well, that came from the teachings of Jesus, not from the ancient philosophers, Plato, Aristotle, Socrates. They didn't think like that. So Jesus changed things substantially, and that left its imprint even on the beginnings of our nation. So that's what we've inherited. But even in this world, there is a pushback. Okay? The society of the world, the flesh and the devil, continues to push back and challenge what's written in our hearts. You were made by God. You were made in God's image. God created everything, all creatures, which is an awesome thing, but humanity is especially made in his image, according to Genesis 1. God created male and female in his image, and he blessed them and gave them dominion over all the earth. Royal rule, in other words, stewards over all things. What a place and privileged place he gave to us. As also in the Old Testament in Psalm 8, it says, O God, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. It says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have set in place, what is man that you were mindful of him, the son of man that you should care for him? But you made him a little lower than the angels, and you crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to be ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under your feet. Tremendous significance. Unlike the other gods of the other nations, the Gentiles, the Greeks and the Romans, who were all those gods were all wrapped up in themselves and what they were trying to get out of life. The God of the Bible, the God of Judaism, the living God, the true God, is loving and good and made us after his image to love. And to do good things, to choose, to reason. We are created uniquely after his image, given that privilege. In other words, our value, our significance comes from the one who made us. I like to use the analogy when I do a children's sermon sometime. I've done children's sermon where I hold up my ukulele, my little, looks almost like a toy, and I say, wow, look at this, guys. I should have brought it in. I have my guitar, which is a lot bigger. And I say, which do you think is worth more money. Which do you think is more valuable? And they always say, oh, the guitar, because it's bigger. And I say, actually, no. My ukulele was made by C.F. Martin and Company, the Cadillac of guitars, right? And it's worth $800 or $900. But my guitar is still a good guitar, but it's only worth about $300. So in other words, who made it makes a difference. God makes every one of us, little ones, big ones. What a great illustration for kids. Sometimes people can be overlooked. Well, we've tried to do away with God in our culture and our society ever since Darwin. We don't need God anymore to explain creation. We've explained away God, we think. The problem is that leaves a dignity gap. That leaves us wondering where we get our worth. How can I feel good about myself? Teachers are constantly trying to figure out how to get children to grow up with confidence, self-esteem. Does it come from self? Well, I would suggest that Christians need to retrain their thinking, no matter what they have learned in grade school. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff. Teachers, don't be offended. It's a lot of good stuff that you're taught in school, but your value, your worth, comes not from within you, except that you were made by God. It doesn't come from yourself, but it comes from, derived from the fact that you were loved by God uniquely and personally, and you were made by Him especially. Amen? If you think about it, okay, if you believe in evolution, I mean real, true evolution, there's theistic evolution that people have that has God still in the equation. But if all we are is grown up germs from the slime, how can you feel good about that? Well, by chance, over a million years, I'm just an overstuffed amoeba. What? But you're supposed to feel good about yourself. Okay, well that means I'm just a big ape, right? Well, my wife's, no, I won't go there. My wife has said that. But anyhow, we get no value, dignity, significance with that evolutionary philosophy behind us. Well, some people, teachers or whoever, Mr. Rogers, you know, I love Mr. Rogers. I don't want to take anything. He's a minister, actually, a Presbyterian minister. But he would always say, you're special because you're unique. You're special. Well, that's true. You're special and you're unique. You know the snowflake illustration? I'm sure you've heard that. You know, we used to cut out snowflakes in art and grade school, and oh, that's different. That's different. Every snowflake is unique and special, just like you. Well, you know what? That doesn't really get through to my heart and make me feel good about myself. As I grew up, I didn't want to be different. Right? As we get into junior high, different is not good. And if you think about the logic, what's wrong with the logic of different, therefore gives you value and worth? Think about that logically. Differentness, therefore, makes you significant. Seems like an empty promise. Because when you come right down to it, take different, for example, when I was in Sharptown, we used to have to go to the dump. Stuff wasn't picked up. And there was cool stuff at the dump that people discarded. And I was intrigued by stuff that people threw away. But generally speaking, there were piles of trash at the dump. And a lot of times it smelled. And you know what I noticed? Every pile was different from every other. But it was still trash. It was still junk. And it still stank. Follow what I'm saying? The logic, just because something is different, doesn't make it valuable. I have to think about that for a while. But God has something much better for us to understand our worth, our value. And that is that He loves us personally. Even if you were the only one who was ever made, ever created, God loves you. Loves you personally. And sent His only begotten Son to die for you. God knows your name uniquely, individually. He knows the hairs on your head, the number of your hairs, and the color of your hair too. Even if you've changed it. Even if you lost it. God knows. Because He knows you. And that's wonderful, comforting, valuing news. And the fact that He made you with a purpose, for a purpose, for His glory, gives us significance. Well, that has tremendous implications for us today, as it did with Jesus, as He brought this idea everywhere Jesus' followers came and brought these truths. Things changed. The value of children, the value of women, the value of the poor, the value of every different race and ethnicity, the value of those who are disabled, the value of young and old, the value of short and tall. Well, right? Doesn't matter what you look like. What matters is who made you and who loves you. And so as we think about the implications of how the world, the flesh, and the devil has tried to take back some of the impact and influence that Jesus and His followers has had on Western culture and society, we think about things that devalue people. Human life is sacred and significant. Back in the first century, in the book, or before the first century, people in antiquity, if they didn't want a child after it was born, if they found it was deformed or the wrong gender, no problem. The head of the house had the authority, wouldn't be prosecuted. They would just expose the baby, put it out on the trash heap. Wow. That's unbelievable. Is it? Is it? Are we that different, whether we dispose of babies before or after they're born? Man, the sanctity of human life. We love all people. We love children that are born, children that are unborn. We love women in crisis that are going through these difficult decisions. We need to love them and support them and care for them because they matter to God and their decision. God gives us grace, all of us, no matter what our crisis. And the sanctity of life. Think about this as we think about the violence in our society here in America. Where'd that come from? This is uncivilized. How could that happen in Florida? Well, we're growing up in a culture, in a world where people just don't matter that much. People are disposables. We live in a society filled with violence where we've lost the understanding that people made in the image of God, people that we talk to day by day, we can treat them poorly because they're just grown up germs or whatever. There's no dignity. But no, we know better, we know different because of what Jesus taught. So as we treat one another, as we treat the children, as we treat our spouse, let us treat one another as those who are loved by God, those who are cherished by Him. You know, I know that I could get in a lot of trouble for saying that all lives matter. Yes, black lives matter. Absolutely. But I have to say, it's not a racist thing. Please, don't get me wrong. I totally believe that we should be against racism, because everyone is made in the image of God. But that includes whites, Hispanics, Asians, blue lives, every color life matters to God, therefore needs to matter to us. Amen? All right, before I get in any other trouble, I'm going to wrap things up. But I hope you understand the difference that God in Christ made in our world as He turned the world upside down with His teaching, with His example, the impact and influence of Christ. Who is this God? He makes a difference in our lives so that we can go out into the world and be light and love and make a difference and transform the world and society for Jesus' sake. Because that's what He's called us to do. And we do that because we know that God loves that person, this person, this person, everyone, equally. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, right? Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. And that means, yes, short people. Yes, noisy people. I love kids. Hallelujah. You know, kids are a part of the family. Praise God. We cherish them. All right, I'm going to get in trouble in a minute. Okay, let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your love and grace for all of us, the least of these. For You have said that when we do things that are gracious and good to the least of these, those who are poor and in prison, those who are hungry and need clothing, we do it to the least of these. We do it to You, Lord Jesus, as You identify perfectly with Your people. Help us to identify with You and see You in all people in the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.